Everybody, it's Tony Robbins.
Hey guys, I'm Audrina Patrick.
Hey, this is Adam Carolla.
You're on the Hollywood Raw podcast.
You're watching Hollywood Raw.
You're listening to and watching Hollywood Raw.
This is the Hollywood Raw podcast, hosted by entertainment veteran Dax Holt and street journalist Adam Glynn. The podcast humanizing Hollywood. From celebrities to media moguls, even paparazzi and bodyguards have come to break news, break their silence, or just have a great conversation on Hollywood Raw. If they're on Hollywood Raw, there's a reason. From Page Six to TMZ, Daily Mail, and People Magazine, everyone is talking about the Hollywood Raw podcast with Dax Holt and Adam Glynn.
Welcome to the Hollywood Raw podcast. My name is Adam Glynn on the East Coast. On the West Coast, which is the best coast, is Dax Holt.
That's right,
sir.
That is right, where it is a brisk 70 degrees out here today. We're all just walking around. You know, we had to put pants on because it was getting a little chilly for us out here.
Ooh, I feel your pain, my friend. I feel your pain. Today, we got a fun episode today. We got a divorce lawyer coming on.
No. Not just a divorce, a celebrity divorce attorney on today.
Our lawyer today, our celebrity divorce lawyer, she's worked with huge people. I mean, once you Google Nancy Chemtov, you Google her name and you see the people she worked. We're very fortunate, very lucky that she's agreed to come on the podcast because, she's worked some really big people. So I'm excited to talk to her, and I hope she I'm going to ask her some tough questions. I know it's a very sensitive subject when you deal with celebrities, and I'm curious to see if she'll, and I think she will, based on her energy. I think she's going to open up to us about how these celebrities' divorces work, how their prenups work. Are there fake marriages in Hollywood? Are there sometimes where the partner might come out as we've heard stories that the partner is gay, but they're kind of forced together because being in a relationship would help better their career? How nasty these divorces go. Is Kevin Costner a hero or is he an asshole in his divorce? We'll find all that out in today's I'm going to ask all these questions.
Yeah, I mean, why not? YOLO, let's do this. Before we do it, I'm going to go ahead and read a review from Apple Podcasts just to throw it out there to say thank you to those people that have taken the time to leave us a review. All right, this one comes from Boat for Fun, 5 stars, great celebrity gossip. My wife loves playing this podcast in the car, keeps her on top of the latest happenings in the East Coast, West Coast celebrity updates. When she's happy, I'm happy. From Mike D, Rhode Island. Hell yeah.
Yes, Mike D.
Mike is learning the way to his woman's heart, and that is through the Hollywood Raw podcast.
Thank you. Thank you, Mike D from Rhode Island. And we're going to reach out to you when we need a spy, when Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce are up in their Rhode Island. Where do they live up there? Don't they have a...
Well, she's got that big old mansion in Rhode Island.
Yeah. Mike D's going to be our spy, and we're going to put him on assignment to go get Travis Kelce and Taylor at her state up there. I wanted a divorce attorney on the podcast, a celebrity divorce attorney. I think, why do you find it interesting? Like, why? What kind of interest?
Why do I? Me personally?
Yeah.
I think because they're working in an industry that people are fascinated with. Like, we want to hear about prenups. We want to hear about divorces. We want to hear, like, I don't know, they're getting both ends of celebrity relationships, and I find that super fascinating. And I don't know. I guess it's just interesting. I don't know.
Every day you go on an entertainment news site from Access Hollywood to the Yahoos of the world, and you see a celebrity divorce pop up because it becomes public information. I'm curious how it all goes down. That's what I really want to ask her. So, Dax, why don't you tell us about our guest today?
Well, our guest today is basically the divorce lawyer of New York. She has done some of the most high-profile cases. We know this because we've done some Googling, but her name has been in the newspapers next to Bobby Flay and Mary-Kate Olsen and so many more. She is a partner in one of the biggest law firms out there in the world, Nancy Chemtov. We are so excited to have you on the podcast. I don't think we've ever had... Have we ever had a divorce lawyer, a celebrity divorce lawyer, Adam?
We have not. We've had some reach out, but we have not had a divorce lawyer on the show.
And this is exciting. I'm
excited. Yeah.
I'm stoked. So, Nancy, From your experience, you've been doing this for a while. What is the biggest reason some of these celebrity relationships just don't work out? I mean, not saying it's bad for business, but why do they not work out?
I think there are too many expectations when these celebrities meet and they're in the media and they're being photographed all the time and followed, and they don't ever really get to realize who they're with, what their partner's expectations are, if they are vegan or they eat meat, you know, if they want kids, don't want kids. So they never really meet and have that like first date, 1 month date. They just go into being followed by cameras, celebrity, and finally, you know, about a year later, 5 months later, whatever it is, they realize they just don't really like this person. They're just not who they want to be married to, and they don't have the values that the other person has.
You know what I think a lot of it comes down to is right when they get into the relationship, it's like you do have the cameras, you have the press, you have everyone being excited for a new relationship. And I think it almost makes them excited for the relationship. And then when that like excitement settles down, it's like, why are we even together? We were together because everyone wanted us to be together. Maybe we're not even compatible. It's like a weird phenomenon. You know, when you look at these relationships, do you think more celeb, non-celeb couple works out or celeb couple works out?
That's a great question, because celeb are still not always on a level playing field.
Mm-hmm.
So who's the bigger celeb? So does it really work out? And a celeb, non-celeb, I don't think works out very well.
Really?
Yes.
Why do you say that? I would have guessed the opposite.
Because a celeb, non-celeb, you have the celeb and they go to work because they're working. That's why they're a celeb. And then they basically, everyone all day, can I get you this, mister? Can I do this? Can I, you know, get you coffee? Do you want me to call a plane for you? And then you come home and the celeb's wife is saying, or her husband is saying, did you walk the dog? why do I have to walk the dog, you know, at work? I don't have to do anything. So it really gets boring fast.
Interesting. That's so funny that you say that, because I really thought it would have been the opposite.
Yeah. When celebrities get divorced, right, you know, I have to imagine there's got to be some conversation about their public image, and they don't want to be come across bad because it is public record and their public image. So people have access to these files, but they, you know, some of these divorces can get pretty nasty. How do you, as their lawyer, kind of control their image so they don't come across bad? Or does the celebrity ever come to you and say, hey, listen, I'm very nervous how this is going to make me appeal to the public?
When I have a client who is a celebrity and they're not having a very amicable divorce, I really have to coach my client, because their perception of what they can and do and not do sometimes just flies out the window. You have to realize, I've been doing divorce for 30 years, and I have war stories, as they say, like War of the Roses, as you would say. And those War of the Roses was an ordinary couple. So now you have to realize, when people really are married, there's infidelity. There's somebody finds out that their spouse is, you know, a horrible, horrible person. They really want the world to know that they're getting divorced because it's not their fault. So when I have a really contentious celebrity divorce, I really need to tell my client, you need to take a back seat to this. You need a PR person. And I think it's really important that when you have a badly behaved client, to coach them. The last thing you want to do is see your client on the front page of People magazine being mocked.
Mm-hmm. So I've got a question that has been burning in my soul here. Nancy, being a celebrity divorce attorney, how important is it for the celebrity to say, I divorced the other person? They filed first, and so all the publications pick it up and say, so-and-so filed for divorce, from so-and-so, like having their name first on that list. How important is that?
I think it's very important because the person who files first always has the perception that the other person did wrong. Mm-hmm. So the reason that I filed first is because this person wronged me.
And is that ever
interesting?
Is that ever something like lawyers will talk about behind the scenes of like, okay, we know where we're going this route. We're working with two celebrities. Who's going to be the one to file and how is that going to look in the public? Is that ever like a negotiation between people behind the scenes?
It's a big negotiation. I'm sure that you've heard they made a joint statement.
Mm-hmm.
If you only knew how many hours, days, weeks, and tweaking of words that those joint statements really meant, that we're still going to continue to raise the children, be friends, not fight about money. There are a lot of joint statements that I have done and actually have done and never been published because no one agreed.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how do you, I mean, you personally, do you like doing celebrities compared to celebrity divorces compared to regular people? Because celebrities, I got to imagine you have to deal with the media and there's so much more. So maybe you could kind of, you know, clock a little bit, few more hours in it. Is it more fun for you as a lawyer to kind of deal with those type of people than regular people? Or is it just all the same thing?
Every attorney in my business loves doing celebrity divorces. It's just fun. I don't know if fun's actually the real word. It's interesting. I would hate my clients to think I'm having fun, but it's really challenging because you have to deal with a PR person. You have to deal with a lot of lawyers. You have to deal with the prenup, postnup, kids, what we're going to say, what we're going to do. How are we going to hide if somebody's an alcoholic or how are we going to bolster somebody up? And we all want to bolster up our client.
Mm-hmm. How do you think people are finding, like, is it the word of mouth when it comes to celebrities? Like, or are someone Googling, throwing names. Katie Holmes had a great divorce attorney, or Lady Gaga, whatever, you know, are they just Googling to find someone who had a great divorce attorney and that's how they're finding you?
I think that there's very few very good divorce attorneys. And from California to New York, people do Google and say, I want to get divorced. I'm going to see who did this divorce, who did that divorce. And then they'll end up landing on, hopefully, me.
It makes sense. From your experience working in the industry, dealing with some of these celebrity couples, has there ever been a conversation when dealing with these people as far as why the relationship didn't work out, that something came into the conversation where you found out they were strategically put together because it would be good for their careers?
I've never been in a situation where I was told that this was almost a fix-up date, so it would be good for their careers. But I really do believe that many people end up being together because this will enhance their careers.
Mm-hmm.
Even with sports, music, all of the incredibly famous people in the industry, they know that their image could be bolstered by having a significant other.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on Taylor and Travis? Obviously, they are the biggest couple in the world. They're coming from two different worlds. Hers, you know, music, entertainment, him, football. What's your thoughts? Is this a good match? Is this something you would say this is going to work out?
It was the first time I ever watched a Super Bowl. Yep. I even knew what a Super Bowl really was. I watched the whole thing. I was intrigued. So if I'm intrigued, I would think that this might be the biggest match ever.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to see them get together and live happily ever after. And I think that everybody is watching as well. You know, there's one thing about a celebrity divorce or a celebrity get together is that there are people rooting for them. And it's almost a very nice thing. Yet when it crashes, people love reading the media as to why it crashed. I think that America wants to see people very happy, but they also want to see the car crash.
100%. Right. People love all of it. They love the buildup. They love the crash. They love the rebirth. I mean, people are fascinated with every end of it. And speaking of the like get together, you know, when it comes to, we hear a lot about prenups. Like there's so much talk about prenups. People are fascinated with prenups. You know, how does that conversation first come up? Is that something you bring up with someone? Is that, you know, they come to you and say, we're thinking about it? Like I am curious how the prenup talk goes, and is it awkward for these celebs?
It's very awkward for normal people. So when somebody does a prenuptial agreement and they're just an ordinary person, it's very awkward. When it's a celebrity, it's 100% where's the prenup? There's no question about a prenup when there is a celebrity marriage. What happens with the celebrity marriages, though, is usually, I would say almost 90% of the time, one person has a lot more money than the other, or the other person is much more famous than the other. So what do you do with that? For me, those prenups are pretty easy because most people who are that successful, they basically say, if we get divorced, you get pretty much nothing. Mm-hmm. That is pretty much the way celebrity prenups are.
Is now, that fair to get nothing at the end of the relationship?
I guess nothing is an exaggeration, and I apologize for that. I'm just really being truthful.
No.
You know, it's like, if you want to marry me, I want consideration. And the consideration has to be, do I get a house? Do I get money if we get divorced? What do I get if we get divorced? Mm-hmm. So those types of things are, an ordinary middle of the road couple has a prenup. We have the same issues. Do you get money? Do you get a house? We can't talk about children in a prenuptial agreement. I'm not sure if you're aware of that. But that's why when you're reading about a prenup, it doesn't say that the dad's going to get the child or, you know, what the terms are of parenting. And I think the closest we've come to that is with Brad and Angelina.
Yeah. I did not know, number one, the kid thing. I did not know that was a thing. But how many marriages do you see fall apart in the prenup stage? Like, you realize this is not someone you want to be with because the stipulations, maybe they seem greedy or cheap or whatever. Do you see marriages fall apart before they even get started just because of prenups?
Well, to answer that question, I think about the clients that have not come back to me that I have done consults with. So I would say about 3 weeks ago, I had this wonderful woman come into my office. I presented the prenuptial agreement that her soon-to-be fiancé was producing to her. And then I said, this is a horrible prenuptial agreement. And I read all the reasons why. She burst into tears. And I literally used like tissue box after tissue box with her. And I haven't heard back from her. So that would be an extreme. With regard to prenuptial agreements, that's just an ordinary person who's one of them has a nice amount of money and wants to preserve it. With regard to celebrity prenuptial agreements, I don't find them to be that onerous because it's so expected.
Gotcha.
How much does like a prenup typically cost? Is there an average cost for a celebrity prenup, would you say roughly?
What's interesting about prenuptial agreements is that they're not that expensive because it's really just a really tight contract. And either you're going to sign it or you're not going to sign it. Because since you can't put kids in, it's just about money. And when we have celebrities, what we want to do is we want to maintain all of their assets as well as anything that they may, whether they write a song, whether they do a movie. I did the Michael Douglas prenuptial agreement, which was years ago when Deandra divorced Michael Douglas. And that went on for a long time because there was a word in that prenuptial agreement that said spinoff or sequel. So you have to be so careful as an attorney to draft.
I was going to say, you know, we hear the words like there was an ironclad prenup. How much wiggle room is there when there is a divorce and it comes to a prenup? Is there, you know, it really just comes down to the wording, but can people still maneuver through a prenup even though it was there?
You can maneuver through a prenuptial agreement. I mean, look at Kevin Costner. His divorce went on with a prenuptial agreement for a very long time. Mm-hmm. And apparently it was an ironclad prenuptial agreement.
Interesting.
That is true. How much, when you're doing the prenup and you're dealing with two celebrities, how much involvement does their team, does their manager, their publicist, their agent, do they get involved? Or when you're working with them, you're just dealing with the celebrity themselves?
What's interesting is I just did a prenuptial agreement of a very, very high profile musician, and I dealt with the managers. It was one of the first times that I really did not deal with the client. The client was there, listened, but the manager was making the decisions.
That's interesting.
It was one of the very first times that I didn't have that much contact with the client.
Do you get invited to the celebrity weddings? So after you do their prenup, are they like, come enjoy the wedding with us?
You know what? I got invited once, actually twice. Once I said, no, thank you. And the second time I got an invitation that then got reneged.
Did they give you a reason why they pulled it back?
Yes. The spouse did not want me there.
Oh, God. Oh, that's
hilarious.
What are the common things that you see in the celebrity prenup? So is there any, has there been any, don't tell me the celebrity, because I'm sure you can't really reveal the celebrity, but what's the weirdest thing you've ever seen as an ask or concern during the prenup?
No, let me get back to that for one sec. I'll get back to that I wanted to answer your question, which is prenuptial agreements are not expensive. So I find it that there's so much work and so much negotiation, and everything has to be perfect in a prenuptial agreement. And the hourly rate that attorneys spend and the time that they spend on a prenuptial agreement is maybe $15,000 to like $40,000. And a $40,000 prenuptial agreement and a celebrity divorce, not a celebrity divorce, a celebrity prenuptial agreement, is not a lot of work. So I feel sometimes like it's so much effort for nothing, but if you mess it up, you're screwed as the lawyer. Mm-hmm. So
I'm sure.
So much time dotting the I's, crossing the T's.
I was going to say, and for some of these people who are worth millions and millions and millions of dollars, $40,000 to them, that is a good investment in keeping your assets at the end of it. So like, why wouldn't you do that just to make sure that even the divorce process, if there is one, it's not going to be as costly because you're not sitting there dividing up everything. It's already settled.
Exactly. So when we get clients that have these ironclad prenups, it's very simple.
You know,
unless they're kids.
True. How many times now these days are celebrities reaching out to you saying, hey, listen, if you help me out during my prenup, a divorce, you know, don't charge me. I'll give you an Instagram story and tag you.
That has never happened. <They're not>
like- I'm actually surprised with how people are.
I could post about you on Instagram for free work. That would be my biggest fear.
I was ready for a long answer, but that has never happened.
How often do you see a post-nup where someone went out and just got married in Vegas and they're like, oh, shit, I should have called Nancy first?
Exactly. I was waiting for the post-nup questions. Post-nups were a new thing. I think post-nups really became a word in 2008 when the whole market crashed. Mm-hmm. Because everybody wasn't able to continue to pay what they would have paid under their prenup. And that's really how the post-nup came about.
Gotcha.
Interesting.
We got to get back to Adam's question about some random things you see as requests inside of prenups.
What's some of the random requests that you've seen during prenups regarding celebrities?
A lot of cheating clauses. I've seen a lot of, if you cheat, you then get nothing. If you are photographed with someone other than me, there's a clause. The penalty provisions of, if you cheat, I get this asset. I'll allow you to cheat, but I get something in return.
Whoa, that's crazy. A cheating clause that allows the person, but with stipulations.
Exactly.
That's wild.
Financial stipulations.
That's crazy. Actually, and I also wonder,
that actually sounds illegal.
I was thinking with like the whole cheating, because then how do you prove that they cheated? Like at the end of the day, like it could be I'm sure that, you know, Johnny slept with Paula, and like, how do you know though? Like, unless there is physical evidence or photos, how, when it goes to court, how do you prove that?
Okay. Here's the story. The phone,
mm-hmm.
the tracker.
Oh.
Right? So I have prenups, and also, you know, people contemplating getting divorced, where you have to leave your tracker on.
Gotcha. So like a part of the prenup is the tracker has to be on?
I had a prenuptial agreement, and I basically said, this is how you're starting, I'll see you in a few weeks.
No kidding.
Makes sense.
I have so many people coming. I would say that almost 85% of the people that come into my office for consults actually turn off their phone and their tracker when they come in. And now I just am so used to it. I'm like, do you want to turn off your tracker before we start?
What? I don't even know. How do you turn off a tracker, Nancy?
Oh.
I didn't know you could do that. Like I put it in airplane mode or something.
Oh, turn off the tracker here. I'm showing it. Wait, my green button. You see the green button right there?
Yeah, Dex. There's a
which
you
green
don't
button?
Like. It's like Apple ID type thing. You don't even realize you have it. Yeah.
Oh.
You must be living a very clean life,
dude. Me and my wife we're good. We got trust up the wazoo. We're good, man. I've never.
She's tracking you.
We've also been together basically since high school. So.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. So.
That's a good one.
Sorry, Nancy, you're not getting any money out of me.
I only do New York. That's why I'm talking about the monkey bar.
Yeah, exactly. When it comes to celebrities, how many open relationships have you seen come in your office? Do we see a lot of these celebrities in open relationships? Because, you know, I got to imagine with your noise.
It's New York City.
Oh, sorry. New York City. Sorry.
Honking.
Let's start with this.
Hear it? It's honking again.
Yeah. Jeez. Where are they? The Friars Club's not open anymore. Where are they?
No, it's not.
I was going to say. We're right near the Friars Club. I used to live right near you. Anyway, when it comes to Hollywood, how often are we seeing open relationships? Because, you know, based on the internet, we've seen some things where there's some sort of relationship where they might be covering up that the person, other half, might be even gay. Has that ever came into your office by any means? Or do you know of any from your colleagues at all that there's been some sort of open relationship where the person was able to see other people or the person could be possibly gay?
Okay. This is a very loaded question, so I'll do it in two parts. So when I started as a divorce attorney in 1997, no one was gay. And then slowly but surely, I think this was the saddest part of my career. I would say probably within a matter of 10 years of me being a divorce attorney, slowly but surely people would come into my office, open the door, sit down, and I would just get this sense that they were going to tell me that they're gay. And it was with such a heavy heart. It was literally, it makes me like almost tear up now, because it is so sad that people weren't living their true life. So right now I find that being gay is cool, and it has changed so much. And I think that's one of the most beautiful things that happened during my career, is that people get to be who they want to be.
Mm-hmm.
The next question that you asked is open marriages. With regard to open marriages, I don't see them that much. I mean, I don't call them open marriages. My clients don't call them. Actually, maybe the one cheating calls it an open marriage. But as far as open marriages or cheating, most of the time that I find a lot of cheating is when there are prenuptial agreements, because there's a lot of financial issues at stake.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the reasons that I don't love prenuptial agreements is because there really is not a level playing field.
Do you ever have clients come in that you recommend them not get a prenup?
Absolutely.
Really?
If I have the client who doesn't have the money, I really try my hardest to not have a prenuptial agreement. There's so much power.
Yeah.
With money, marriage, and kids.
Mm-hmm. And if when you say doesn't have the money, what's your kind of, beyond this amount, people should look into having a prenup?
That's a great question. And I always think of the question is if somebody has $100,000, if someone has $100 million, they're mm-hmm. all living above their means. Okay. So it doesn't really matter how much money you have. Because it's never enough.
How do you make of the Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie divorce? I mean, it's been going on for so long. From your experience, from what you know about this relationship and divorce, how do we just kind of put this in the rearview mirror? And as a lawyer, if you're working on this case, I got to imagine they got to be like, we want to keep going because we keep making so much money. So how do you kind of balance that sort of line? If you were even working on that case, because it is so profitable for, I'm sure, for their lawyers.
Angelina and Brad have kept me really busy. It's one of the most asked questions that I get from reporters. I know the entire history. I know about the wine cellar, the fight on the plane. It's been years. The kids are emancipated. I believe that one of their children is not emancipated. But it just doesn't end. And I'm not really sure why. I mean, I have my own thoughts. I think that one of them may like the publicity.
Angelina. Oh, sorry. I had something in my throat. Sorry. I apologize for that. Exactly. Well, exactly. I think that there's been a lot of things that have come out with. There seems like there's a lot of anger still in that relationship, and it seems that one side likes to spotlight a lot of that anger and make sure people know how angry they are is really what I see, you know, tipping off FBI agents and this and that. It just seems like they want to make the other person look very bad is what I see. And right. I'm assuming that there's been a lot of hurt and anger throughout the years, and now they're trying to regain some of their life back by making the other person look bad.
I also think that when there's a false allegation or an allegation of abuse of a child, mm-hmm. the person who's accused of abuse always wants to, rightfully so, if it's false, clear their name.
Yeah.
And then the person who is not able to be as successful as they want to be, you know, just keeps revisiting who I am, how I've been wronged financially, you know, just it's a mess.
So when the Johnny Depp and Amber Heard divorce came down and the courtroom case and all of it, were you as fixated being in law as the general public was?
I was not as fixated watching that trial. I enjoyed listening to it. Yet this is what I do all day, every day. I hear the craziest stories where sometimes I'm doing a consult and I'll have to write down on a piece of paper next to me, did they actually say that? So this is my life. So I wasn't as fixated, but I was interested.
But do you watch a trial like that and you're like, damn, I could have done better, or I would have asked this question instead because that would have got a better answer. Like, do you ever do that when you watch some kind of trial or case unfold?
Of course. I'm always like, what are you talking about? This is the obvious answer. Just ask the question.
So here's a question. Your celebrity dream trial, which case would you have wanted to be a part of, and whose side would you want to be a part of?
Tom Cruise.
Tom and Katie?
Yeah.
Yeah, you would have taken that one on in a second. You look back at that with loving eyes.
That was a great one.
I feel like that would have opened Pandora's box on wanting questions and answers from inside of Scientology and set up arrangement marriage and all. There's so many questions around that just to be involved in it and know the answers to all those things.
Right.
Woo! Would have been crazy.
Scientology hasn't been in any of my other cases.
And no one's bigger. There's not a bigger Scientologist out there than Tom Cruise in regards to how they promote him, he is so intertwined with Scientology, and how they will do anything to make sure that he looks good out there, you know?
He does. He looks great.
So wild. That would be a good one. I agree with that.
When Olivia Wilde and Jason Sudeikis got divorced, Olivia was served papers on stage. She was doing a live event. She got served papers on stage. Does the other party know when those papers are going to be delivered? When those papers are going to be served? Because Jason tried to say he had no idea, but from your experience, do you think he had an idea when those papers were going to come?
I believe there was no idea.
Really?
I do. You know, the thing about service is really tricky because there's jurisdiction, so you have to serve if you want somebody to be served in a jurisdiction that the divorce will prevail in, you have to file and serve. Mm-hmm. So if I want someone to be served in New York and have the divorce be in New York, then we will do surprise attack. That's actually, I know I mentioned this case before, but with Deandra Douglas and Michael Douglas, we actually flew out to California to, my partner did, she flew out to California to serve because of the time zone difference. They wouldn't know to expect it.
Mm. So question for you. Why are you allowed to talk about Michael Douglas? And like, how do you decide who you can talk about and who you can't talk about?
It was public. It was in the paper.
Okay.
And it was an open trial.
Gotcha.
And I never finished the case because it went back to California.
Yeah, just curious because you brought it. Because I never know, like when we talk to lawyers and stuff, or, you know, not that we've had a divorce attorney on, but when we talk to even celebrity crisis managers and all these things, we always like walk this line of like, who can we bring up? Who can't we bring up? You know, so it's just interesting on our side.
It's a great question because I won't talk about any of my clients. Mm-hmm. Except for that one, because if somebody's in a newspaper, then I can talk about it. But I don't like talking about my clients.
So, Nancy, when you're at the end of your work, when you're dealing with a client, a celebrity, how do you bill them? Do you bill them on the hours worked? Do you just bill them on handling the entire case? And how do you show that, hey, I actually worked 6 hours this day, 2 hours that day, if it is by the hour?
Our firm, so I can only speak for my firm, but I assume that it's pretty consistent. We have very strict rules being divorce attorneys. We can't promise our clients anything. These are in our retainer agreements. So we bill hourly, and every attorney in our office has an hourly rate, and we bill hourly. And if we want to give a discount, we'll give a discount on the rate. And if we don't ever ask for a bonus, but it does say in our agreements that if you want to give us a bonus, we're able to take one.
I didn't even realize that it's like you're tipping off, you're tipping your lawyer. I've never heard of that before.
The screen pops up. How do you rate your service? 20%, 25%?
Now, I have to tell you, it's very far and few between that we do get those tips.
I was gonna say, I feel like most people are like, oh, this bill is already painful.
Exactly. That's- Everybody, no matter, you could be the wealthiest person you've ever met and the bill's painful.
Yeah. You know, I want to go back into the celebrities, you know, Joe Jonas and Sophie Turner, you know, when they first started their divorce, it became really bad right away. You were hearing sources from this person, sources from that side. You didn't know which story to believe. When you sit down as their lawyer, when you're dealing with two celebrities or just one celebrity and the other person's dealing with their camp, how do you quiet those sources? How do you go to them and say, listen, whoever you're talking to, it can't get, and you're only making things get worse. How does that, how do you control that sort of situation?
With that divorce, it was a big problem for everybody because it wasn't a simple divorce. It was a jurisdictional issue. And everybody was fascinated by it. All the lawyers were fascinated by it because it was Miami, New York, London, and you can't quiet it. The only way to quiet it is to have the publicist and the clients not speak. And I do think they did do a good job with it towards the end. But in the beginning, I think it really did go out in the media in a very nasty way. But then it got pulled back.
Yeah. Do you, because, you know, we said earlier, you know, you don't maybe necessarily get involved in watching the trials and this and that, but is there been a celebrity divorce that has interested you where you are not representing them, but you find it really fascinating to see how it unfolds? Like Jason and Olivia, or even Amber and Johnny, do you find that interesting, or you're like, ugh, this is just my normal daily crap. I don't want to read up on the details.
At the end of the day, Amber and Johnny's trial was more like watching a movie. So that was interesting. But if you're going to do a Kramer v. Kramer type of divorce, I would have no interest. Even if it is celebrities, after a while, everybody just becomes the same and their same story. I think Kevin Costner was a very interesting divorce because they had a prenuptial agreement and she just wouldn't let it go.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
So I watched that one.
Because I remember she said in the Kevin Costner divorce, his ex-wife said she still needed money for plastic surgery. Was there something that she did was the dagger for her that kind of didn't get her what she wanted?
I think what she did wrong was push it so far that the media ended up turning on her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It did settle. I don't know if it was the lawyers or if it was her, but whatever PR person she had should have tamed it down a little.
Yeah, I hear you on that. I want to say, like, obviously there's so many different facets of law and representing clients. Do you feel like a divorce attorney is the best facet you could be into? Or do you look over your career and you're like, man, if I could redo this, I would go into that type of law instead?
I think I have the best job in the whole world. People tell me, you know, how do you do this? And I'm 58 and people are like, when are you going to retire? And I actually think I'm not going to retire. My colleagues are 85 years old, 86 years old. And it's not like they need the money. I don't have their bank accounts, but it's a great job. You wake up every day, you hear real life stories. Think about all of these TV series that we have, and they're not real. I hear it all. I know how much money everybody has, if they're cheating, if they're gay, if they're straight, if they're, you know, if they're a trust fund kid, you know, it's unbelievable. I literally sometimes think that's why I don't take the bonuses.
I mean, it's got to be fun. Like, it's a very voyeuristic opportunity to be like, you get to know all the information everyone else is dying to know.
Exactly.
Like, that's pretty cool. Like, when I was at TMZ, my job was looking through all the photos, the outside photos that were coming in from paparazzi and fans. So I got to see everything, all the uncensored photos, all the crazy stuff, everything. And for me, it was very voyeuristic as well. Like, just being like, oh, I get to see the things everyone else is dying to see.
Exactly. And you know the truth.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's fascinating.
I think what's cool with you too, you're almost like part psychologist in a way. And it is fun. And you listen to their stories for an hour. You sit on the couch, you let them speak, and then Aaron says, okay, here's my expertise on how to handle the situation. I've personally been watching Suits the last couple months. How realistic is Suits? I love it, but you know, is it real? Is that how these law firms work?
That's really funny because I watched Suits when it first came out and everybody's watching it again.
Oh, I just started watching because people, and I'm hooked. I get it. I mean, it's not the best show, but it is a great show because it's just fun to watch. And it makes me wonder, are these how these law firms operate? And then is there a real Harvey Keitel type of lawyer that guy walks in and everyone's like, man, this guy's the man.
Right. I think that in the divorce world, for some reason, I always wonder why we're called celebrity divorce attorneys. And I think the word celebrity divorce attorney elevates us to, you know, almost celebrities, which we're not. I think it's such a funny word when somebody says Nancy Shemtov, the celebrity divorce attorney. No, I represent 90%, well, maybe 95% of ordinary people whose I know their secrets, I know their kids, I know everything about them. But that little niche of having represented celebrities makes me a celebrity divorce attorney, which I love. I think it's funny, but I actually am, you know, just a pretty mild-mannered, you know, regular person. So what I find a lot is that people like having dinner with me and my husband. I'll sit down and they'll say, tell us a funny story or tell us a story. And sometimes it's a little exhausting because you don't want to say what you should say or could say and what you know. But I think I'm held to this, like I have to be entertaining at dinner.
Well, here's Nancy, when someone you meet out at a dinner party and they say, what do you do for a living? Do you say divorce attorney or do you say celebrity divorce attorney?
I say divorce attorney.
Let me ask you this, Nancy, you're in the Hamptons, you're in New York City, you're around New York. Has there been an incident where you're out and you run into one of your client's ex-partners out and they're like, oh, there's the lawyer that went against me, and it just gets very awkward or uncomfortable?
The lawyer who went against me? I'm fine with that. What I'm not fine with is when I find myself at someone's wedding in the middle of in Aspen, and I'm sitting next to my client's husband. That's awkward. And there are many times that I'm in the Hamptons or somewhere and I'm at a dinner party and there's someone who absolutely hates me on the other side that I have to spend the night with.
Oh, it's so awkward.
Yeah. That person, oh yeah, they cost me $1.5 million. Yeah, that's.
Or I know that your son isn't really your wife's son.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, you know all the dirt on them. Everything. So, oh man, I love it. Well, this has been super fun, Nancy. basically, it was everything I hoped and more. Just getting that inside track into what it's like working with huge stars and, you know, walking them through the prenup, walking them through the divorce. It's just a fascinating look. And I would love to have you back when we do have like another huge divorce on our hands and, you know, kind of your perspective of it. But it was just really fun to talk to you. So thank you for joining us.
Thank you for including me. I really appreciate it. It's been a lot of fun. And
Thank you. She was great. That was a lot of fun.
I liked her, dude. She was entertaining. She's clearly very knowledgeable about this, but she also said things that I was kind of surprised, like even how much it costs to do a prenup. You never know with people when you ask them questions when it comes to money and all of that. She could have easily been like, oh, I don't talk money. And she was like, oh, no, anywhere between $15,000, $40,000 to get a prenup. Like, dude, great. She was cool.
Yeah, she was a lot of fun. And I like that she understood our fandomness of it, our obsession with Hollywood. Like, she's not going to act like it's all no. I like that we asked her. She's like, no, of course every lawyer likes working with celebrities. It's just a little bit more fun and exciting. So not to kind of shun away from, like, yeah, of course it's fun to kind of learn a little bit more about these people. And again, she's worked with huge names, we can't really get into the specifics of some of those clients because it is personal and is very private information. However,
but you can Google her and see, Google her and see all the names that she's connected to.
Yeah. Google her and you'll see the names that she worked with. But I like that she has a good, just energy and appreciation of it. And again, it's one of those jobs as far as law, as a lawyer, you don't realize how fun that could be because you sit on a couch and listen to their relationship for an hour. And then you figure out, okay, this is what we're going to do from here. So it's part psychologist, part lawyer. Thank you guys for watching. If you're watching on YouTube, like and subscribe. If you're listening, check out our private Facebook group called Off the Record. It's a really cool, fun community. We also are on TikTok and Instagram. We're on it all because we're influencers. You guys know how it is. follow me at Adam Glenn. Follow Dax Holt at Dax Holt. And we'll see you guys next time. Bye-bye.
Ahura Media Production.